Hallelujah. For those of you who've been here the past several weeks, you know that we've been building up to a sermon series that Dr. Hanen's going to preach. And, and we need to keep him in our prayer because I've been here for 15 years. Yes, 15 years in April. And I have no... Thank you. No. And it's not about me, but I've known Dr. Hanen for 15 years. And this is probably the first time I've seen him not preach because he's sick. All right? So let's keep him in our prayers this morning. That sermon is going to be delivered. That is nothing but an attack of the enemy to hinder the word of God going forth. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that the word is like a seed that is sown. And if you take out the sower, the word can't be sown. Amen? But praise God and thank the Lord that he had me ready for something already because I got a word for you this morning. Amen? So let's get into it. The title of my message this morning is Speak the Word. For those of you who were here Wednesday night in our panel, and if you're not meeting here on Wednesday nights for our panel discussions, you're missing out because it's not one person delivering from their experience in the implanted word of God in them. It's about 15. And from their life experience, 20, 30, 40 years in ministry and in counseling and in living out this word we call faith. And one thing that I shared the other night in that was that every day I get up, I start my day with confessions. Well, I say every day. I try to, you know. We still have to crucify that flesh, right? But I start my day with confessions, and it's not some kind of, this whole sermon is not going to be some kind of positive mental attitude garbage, okay? Because that is a teaching from the world that takes out the scripture and tries to pass on the principles of what God's word says without giving him credit for it. And we in the church call that New Age thinking. It's not New Age, it's the word of God. It's just corrupted. When you get the full understanding of what God's word says about you, what he says about us, then we can really grasp exactly how we're supposed to live in Christ. This isn't for our own benefit just so we can heap up rewards on ourselves. That's the perversion of a prosperity message. God's word is so rich and full that everything that he's given to us, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said the earth is his and the fullness thereof. Everything is his, and he's given everything to us by faith. For what purpose? If you stop right there, it's selfish and it's prosperity message that's going wrong. The purpose of you prospering in every area of your life, spirit, soul, body, physically, financially, everything, is so you can get people into the crown, get a crown into the jewel, into the crown of God where Christ sacrificed and bled and died for us. You can receive whatever you need so that you can turn around and bring people to him. That's the ultimate goal of the greatest message that this Bible has been spoken, right? It's the Great Commission. So we're going to talk about how we can move and operate in God's word. So we live in the realm of sound, but we operate in the realm of light. Now, I'm not going to go over it this morning, but you can go back and look through some of our sermons in the past time. For years now, we've taught in this pulpit that there is two realms. The Bible describes them as the higher realm or the lower realm, the natural realm or the spiritual realm, the realm of light or the realm of sound. They're all the same thing, right? And so when we talk about the natural realm and the spiritual realm, you got to understand that there when the word uses that word realm, in the New Testament, the word kingdom is and realm are interchangeable, and that Greek word is basileia. And that word basileia means realm, and with a realm comes a rule and a ruler and jurisdiction, okay? So when you are born again, you are born into that new, that higher realm, that light realm, all right? So everybody in Christianity pretty much can agree that salvation is ours because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, right? A lot of people stop right there to their own detriment while they're here on earth because that's not where Jesus stopped with his promises. His promises extend far beyond salvation. That's just the first step. You can't get into the God's will and get into his promises without acknowledging your sin, repenting, and believing on God for salvation, accepting Jesus in your heart, and then you become a new creation. That new creation is not physically, it's not naturally, it's spiritually. Nothing happens in your natural when you become a Christian. Nothing happens to the natural part in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, there is a new creation that has been transformed. And when that new creation is transformed, it is done instantly, once and for all. So much so that the angels in heaven rejoice because somebody has come into the knowledge of the light. The scripture that we quote, that we pray all the time is Romans 10 and 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you confess with your mouth, so right here, speaking the word, the very essence of salvation, the first thing is confession. When you confess with your mouth, you have to say it. If anybody here has been in court, there's certain things that have to be said. They have to be spoken because we live in the spoken sound realm. God's word says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and then believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead. Wait a minute, I thought you believed with your mind. Well, again, when you stick around here long enough, you'll hear it taught. That word heart is the Greek word for cardia. That word cardia is where we get the word cardio, right? Heart, cardio. And the cardia in the Greek, that word described the main throughway or highway through a major port or major city. And that's where all the traffic flowed. That's where all the business took place. So out of what God's saying here is when you confess with your heart, confess your mouth and believe in your heart, you're believing in the main flow of who you are. You say, well, that sounds kind of like a lot of woozy stuff, Andy. Well, let me tell you something. Let me introduce you to the Eastern mindset of the Bible, because we have a Western mindset in Western in culture and civilization, and we think very linearly, and we think very black and white. And a lot of times, if you hang out with Jewish people, if you hang out with rabbis who interpret the Old Testament, and they'll tell you exactly the meaning behind certain things, there's a lot of circular there's a lot of circular thinking, because it all leads back to the same thing. And so you have to kind of open your mind up to learn something new every time you open God's word. Because there's layers to God's word. Salvation is the first layer for pretty much everybody. Once you get through salvation, once you can believe God for salvation, when you confess with your mouth, if you can believe that by simply saying the words that I repent of my sins, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that has saved a spirit that you cannot see from a place that you cannot see and fire that you cannot feel, if you can believe that with everything in your being, then what's stopping you from believing everything else that God's promised in his word? So if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. For that with the heart, man believes and is justified, and with the mouth, confession is made in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between you and the Greek. Now, again, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Romans. So he's speaking to their day. But what he's saying is there's no distinction between you and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you look down on verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we are born again, we are reborn into the light realm. All right? So you have to understand, if you ever want to get through past salvation, and some of us have, hey, how many times have we gone to the altar for salvation? Well, that's just, and I've done it before. I was in church for 10 years and coming into manhood and went to my pastor and said, I don't think I'm saved. He's like, what do you mean you don't think you're saved? I don't feel, and I did not have an understanding of Romans 12. I did not know that there's self-condemnation that was building up on the inside of me. It's called sabotage. It's called your mind. If you're not renewing your mind with God's word, your flesh will take over and you will start to think those things that's caused you to question where you are in Christ. Because guess what? Everything you see with your five senses tells you you're wrong, tells you your flesh is overtaking your spirit, tells you I don't see what God's word is saying. And if you believe those voices, then you will start to move according to those voices. And you will stop moving according to the voice. Because the enemy doesn't need to take us out. He just needs to take us out of the word. That's more important to him than a sinner on his way to hell who denies Christ, because something radical is probably going to happen to that person and they have a dramatic shift and their testimony is more dangerous than mine who grew up in church to somebody who's never heard or been in church. that person's more dangerous to the enemy, even though he's not even confessing Christ. But you take somebody like myself, who for years walked and talked Christian talk, and the next thing you know, I'm questioning whether I'm even saved. The enemy's like, I've got you right where I need you. Because I don't need you to think you're going to hell or to know that you're going to heaven. I just need you to question everything. I need you to wonder, because you're probably going to heaven. I don't have a hold on you, but at least I can block your efforts while you're here on earth to keep other people from going to heaven because of what you're doing. We are recreated when we are reborn in the Spirit. This is a spiritual experience, not a natural one. You don't see any changes in the natural. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if there's anybody in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. All things have become new. The old you has passed away. That's why when we get baptized, that's symbolic of the old man passing away. When you are baptized and you submerge yourself in the water, that water represents the grave, and you go down a sinner and you come back up just like 2 Corinthians 5:17, recreated in the image of Christ. We are created in God's image. Ephesians 1 verse 17 describes in detail how this happens. So you may say, okay, Brother Andy, I'm very logical. I'm very educated. This kind of sounds a little beyond what I'm willing to conceive because I can't really understand it. Well, Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your faith has been given to you when you were created, first of all. Let's get that out of the way, okay? Mark says that God has given us the measure of faith. So every one of us have a measure of faith. Whether we exercise it for kingdom or not, we have a measure of faith. And that faith is what causes us to be saved. And hearing comes by that word, which is through faith. So when you are hearing God's word and you get that revelation in the knowledge of him, what happens is that revelation is caused because it says right here, you have the eyes of your understanding, your mind's eye, your mind, your understanding is enlightened. And that word enlightened means photizo in the Greek. That word photizo is the same word we use for photograph. So what you're doing actually is when God gives you a revelation of something in his word, you are actually seeing it as a screen on your mind's eye. You're actually seeing what God is saying in his word. And he does that because that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us he believes. Once you see what God is saying and you get your understanding enlightened, now you can possess that revelation, and that is only half the process. So you may say, oh, Brother Andy, now I see what God is saying. I can see it in my mind's eye. How many have gotten revelation from God's word because he imparted it to you? Not because you heard it from script, not from the sermon or from the pulpit. Because you spend time in God's word, because you devote your attention to God's word, he opens up his heart to you, and then you see something in God's word that you've read a million times but never heard it that way. And it changed something you're thinking. How many can testify to that? That's what I'm talking about. That's only half the process. Because if we only get the revelation of God and we do nothing with it, then we're just heaping on ourselves knowledge and revelation of the Spirit and not doing anything with it. So what we have to do is we have to take it a step further. And once you know the word, then you have to speak the word. So once you see what God is saying in your mind, then you have to say what you are seeing in your mind. Because if you get that revelation, you know God's word is true. And if you get that revelation, you know that what you're seeing, what you heard God say in his word, you know that's truth. I don't see it right now. I don't see the healing right now. I don't see the miracles right now. I don't see the opportunities that I need or that I want right now. But I see through God's word a promise. You get a scripture that you hold on to and you know it's true. And you can't be denied otherwise that it's truth. I don't care if I die at 55. I'm living to 120. I don't care if I have cancer. I don't have cancer. But if that was ever inflicted upon me, I'm still going to believe God's promises and speak His word. You say, no, that's being double-minded. No, that's being spiritually minded. When they were talking, when Paul was talking about those who are double-minded or unstable in all their ways, he's talking about one foot in the world and one foot in the spirit. Now, when you got both feet in the spirit, it doesn't matter what your five senses tell you. You said, well, what if the cancer kills you? I don't care. I'm still going to believe God's word. You see, it's not up to me to interpret what God's word says and blame God for something that he didn't perform in his word. It's up to me to believe God's word, wholeheartedly confess God's word, and walk it out as if I am already there. When you get the understanding that you can alleviate yourself of trying to make God do what he needs to do, you can accept whatever happens. And not question God's word. Because if that happens to me, I'm still going to believe God for healing. We live in a fallen world. All right, we live in a fallen world. Things are going to happen. The Bible says you will face trials. But the trying of your faith produces patience. Patience in his word. Patience to walk it out. Not to question it. You know, Doc says that we're here as priests, not judge to other people. We're not to be judging God for him not fulfilling his word. There was a prominent minister in the 1980s, the early 90s, that fell from grace very publicly, and y'all probably knew who I'm talking about because he was of the faith. He was of the word of faith. And when he did, a large portion of Christians in America walked away from church altogether because their faith was in him. I love my pastor. I love my pastors. But if they fall, I'm not falling with them. I'm going to stand on God's word. We have to stop this worshiping people and start worshiping the Creator. There's a lot of that going on right now in the body of Christ if you're watching the news. And you know who I'm talking about. Don't speak against God's anointed. If they're guilty, don't speak against God's anointed. What sin does God elevate higher than others? None. There's only one that he says that is unforgivable. That's the spirit of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Everything else is a sin in his eyes. It doesn't matter if it's a white lie, if it's adultery, or if it's fornication, or murder. A sin is a sin. And when we elevate people in our mind, we're taking them and putting them on a pedestal and knocking God off in his word. So we just talked about faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How often should we hear from God's word? I heard somebody read my notes, every day. Who said every day? Every day. Why do we need to hear from God's word every day? I went to church this morning. Should I have read my word before I got here? Yes. Should I read it before I went to bed? If you hadn't read it today, yes. If you eat as much physical food as you ate spiritual food, Robert F. Kennedy wouldn't need to make America healthy again. We'd all be spiritually and physically healthy. Because the Christians nowadays don't spend near as much time in the Word, myself included, as we should. We should strive every day. Because if I sit up and tell you right now, I spend as much time in the Word as I need to, that means I've achieved perfection. Okay? That's the way I see it. That's the standard I hold myself to. So we should always get into God's word and never get complacent. Who's here gotten complacent before? Why do we get into God's word every day? Romans 12:2 says that we are not to be conformed by this world, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So why? How can we be conformed by this world if our spirit man's recreated? Because we're a three-part being. The spirit man was created. What he's talking about in Romans 12, 2 is don't be conformed in your mind, your soul. Is your mind, will, and emotions. Don't be conformed in your mind to allow the enemy to come in, like Mark 4 said, and if that word's not planted and rooted in the ground, the birds will come by and pick it up and take it out. Because you get a revelation today, you get the word in you today, and you don't feed on God's word, and you don't nurture that faith and grow that faith, a week from now, that faith is going to be, that revelation is going to be diminished, and you're going to be questioning whether you even heard from God. So when we are conformed by this world, we are conformed in our mind, in our soul. That's why the very next sentence says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? With the Word of God. Once you get this revelation, you have to continue to contend for it, or else the flesh will drown out the Word in your heart. Galatians 5:24 says that we who belong to Christ Jesus must crucify our flesh, and that is a daily priority. You have to make it a priority to get up and get into God's Word, to get into prayer, to speak God's Word, to believe God's Word. Because if you don't, you've got five senses 24 hours a day pounding on you, telling you everything that God's Word is saying is not true. Because I see this, it's contrary to what I read here. You are not defeated by your circumstances, but by your attitude towards your circumstances. Let me say that again. You are defeated not by your circumstances, but by your attitude towards your circumstances and your problems. Who here has gone through a problem this year already? Major problems, small problems. How about this week? How about today already? Do you know that you can stand outside of yourself, because we have the ability to do that in our mind, right? We can stand and observe what we're saying, observe what we're doing, whether it's just sitting in quietness and thinking about the problem and thinking about what I'm doing, or if you actually write out so you can see what you're writing, thinking, you have the ability to observe what you're doing and make changes. You have the ability to then, as a result of that, stand outside your circumstances. So you may say, I feel the weight of this burden on me. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you feel a weight today. I feel the weight of this decision I've got to make. I feel the weight of this doctor's report that I either just got or I'm about to get. I feel the burden of the things and the cares of life. And because we are creatures of faith, we can stand outside of those feelings and those circumstances because God's word is not bound by our feelings. So you say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that if you're going through something, then you can literally separate yourself from those feelings by taking your mind off of the situation and putting it in on the what God's word says about the situation. The natural realm versus the spiritual realm. The realm of sound versus the realm of light. Let me give you an example. I'm originally from Mississippi. Okay, I now live in Alabama. If I am walking around trying to live out under the laws of the state of Mississippi, y'all would look at me like I'm crazy. He's like, you're not in Mississippi, you're in Alabama. Yeah, but the state law of Mississippi says this. So I need to do something. No. You live in Alabama. You're in a new law. You're under a new law. And that's where we are a lot of times. We are stuck in what God is or what we've gone through, and we're stuck in what has happened in our past. And we're wondering why we can't get any further in faith because our thinking is stuck in the past. It's stuck under that old covenant in the Old Testament. We think that we have to measure up to what God says, and a lot of times God is just saying, I have grace for you. And that grace is sufficient, and it's renewed every day. And that grace comes to us through faith. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. And that is a gift given to us. And so we have to cultivate that in our hearts and in our minds and renew it daily. What we think and believe is generally what we talk about and confess. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. What we think and believe is generally what we talk about and confess. Our confession is in the final analysis, is merely the vocal expression of what we think and believe. Therefore, if my thinking is wrong, then my confession will be wrong. If your thinking is wrong, your confession is going to be wrong. Because you're going to be double-minded if you say something you don't believe. Who here has, and I'm going to raise my hand. I have, in times past, stopped confessing God's word because I didn't believe something I was trying to confess. I was taught it. I've heard it for years. And at some point, I'm going to be real with myself, and I'm going to say, I may stand up in front of people and say something, but when it comes down to the brass tacks, I'm going to sit here and say, is this really how I believe? And I'm not going to betray my own self at some point down the road. And therefore, I'm going to stop saying what I don't believe. So if you don't believe what God's word says, there's no point even saying it. Because the mere speaking of the words is not, there's no magic in speaking the words. You have to have the faith and the understanding and speak that faith and speak that understanding to operate in faith. A person who confesses fear, anxiety, sickness, and defeat does so because he believes in fear, sickness, and anxiety, and defeat. You will ultimately come to believe what you think. Positive thinking is not mere mental suggestion. You say, well, this sounds like a bunch of positive mental attitude. I've already told y'all this is not. This is not. This is God's word. This is what the tool that God placed inside of us in the earth so that we can operate by faith and walk out the promises that God has for us so we can bring people to him. God doesn't bring you money so you can have a Lamborghini. God doesn't give us opportunities so we can boast about what we've done with our lives. Everything that you get that you praise God for, you should be asking yourself, how am I going to spread the kingdom with what I've received? And if you don't see it that way, then you should probably check your heart. And I'm talking to myself. You should probably check your heart because at some point, we live in the richest nation in the world. We live in the richest society that the earth has ever produced. So we don't know some of the things that people live in around the world. And so when we say that God has great things for us, it's relative, right? It's relative. So if God blesses me with a promotion, it's not so I can increase my living standard. Did y'all hear that? God brings the promotion, God brings the increase, God brings all these things so that you can be a conduit and a channel for the kingdom to get more people to Christ. I heard it said one time that they call money currency. A current flows. Money's supposed to flow. If God brings you an increase and you just hoard it up on yourself, well, then you've become a dam. You should be blessing other people. This isn't just about money. I shared it before. God's laid on my heart to do practical things for people, to give things of my possessions to other people. I had no idea what they were going through. God knew down to the cent. I wanted to give more. God said, no, give less. Like, what is this? So I gave less, and it was exactly to the cent what that person was praying for. What did that do? For me, it kind of hurt my pride, but for them, it increased their faith because they was believing God for a certain amount of money. They didn't know where it was going to come from. They had a need. I don't know if they know they prayed for the dollar amount. They just said, Father, we have a need for this, and the need was met. That's how we're supposed to operate through faith, not just by bringing tithes and offerings. You should bring your tithes and offerings. But in every aspect of your life, you look and say, how can I bless somebody else? How can I be a blessing? How can I be the hands and feet of Jesus to somebody else? A lost and dying world who needs to hear the salvation message. How can I be part of that? You will ultimately come to believe what you think. If you are not renewing your mind, you are going to think on everything that your five senses are telling you. We must speak the word. So when you are sitting there and you are praying, I encourage everybody. We're about to enter 21 days of prayer. Pray God's word. You say, well, I just don't know how to pray. You don't need to know how to pray. If you have a problem, if you have something that you're praying for, if you have a son or a daughter who has gone and lost their way and they're away from the faith and they're maybe even away from you, you say, I just don't know how to pray. Pray God's word. So what do you mean pray God's word? Find the scripture where it says that you train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Speak that word. Pray that word. What do you mean by pray it? Read the scripture. Say it out loud and believe what you're saying. It's time that we start praying God's word instead of asking God to help us out. Because when we get to another level in faith and we understand now that we can actually pray God's word about a certain situation, even though my senses are telling me something different, and we start saying God's word and we start standing in faith, not believing what we're the report that's coming from the enemy or from the world, but knowing what God's word says, once we get to that point, then God starts expecting us to pray that way. So now, then we condition ourselves. So instead of asking God for help in every little area, instead we realize that we are a new creation, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And if I'm seated there, then I have the authority and the power of heaven that I can bring down here to earth. And how do I do that? Because the spirit realm is the higher realm. We have a spirit. Our flesh is in the natural realm. Our soul is the interconnect between the spirit and the natural. So when you renew your mind, then your mind starts getting you into action and doing the things in the natural until you start to see the things in the natural that you've already seen in the spiritual. You're fully convinced that whatever you believe and confess is going to come to pass, and nothing can by any way hinder that belief. When you get to that point, you don't need to hear the word of God five times a day on that particular subject. You've got it so ingrained in you, just like salvation, you're not going to take it away from me. When faced with a circumstance or problem, begin to search out the word to see what God says about it, and then you say what God says. So you have a problem, I confess. I say what God's word says. Doesn't matter what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, I say what God's word says about that problem. Because I believe God, God's word is true. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is here for reproof, for correction, for doctrine. So if I know that everything in this word is true, everything in this word is divinely inspired, then I'm not going to question it. So when I believe God for something that I have a problem for and I confess God's word over it, I now see in my mind's eye, my eyes are enlightened and their understanding has been opened, and now I see what God is saying to me by the Spirit. So when I see those things by the Spirit, I start to translate that from the spiritual realm through my mind to the natural by saying it. When I say it, my natural ears hear it, so then my flesh starts aligning with God's word. And then as you say those things, you're standing on faith, you're building up on faith, God's word is then activated by your faith, and things start to move in the spiritual. You can't see them. I don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm. It may be happening today. It may be happening 5 years from now. It's not my part to determine when the timeline is going to occur. There is no time in heaven. That's the hardest thing we have in Christianity, is walking out this thing in faith, because we live in the realm of time. And when we are stuck in time and we don't see things when we think we should see them, we give up. But if you take your mind outside the realm of time and know that by the Spirit the things are already happening and confess and pray and believe, you say, well, you're just saying things that aren't really real. I'm speaking God's word. As long as you're speaking God's word, everything that I'm saying to you is relevant. If you start saying things that aren't God's word, then I can't vouch for that. But if you're speaking God's word over a situation, then you should have the faith that it's going to come to pass. And when that starts happening, faith is activated in the spiritual realm. And then as you move through time, it didn't happen today. I'm expecting it to happen next week. It didn't happen next week, but next month it happens. Praise God. Let me give you an example. This is not about money. This is not a scripture about money, but this is a lot of ways that you can illustrate this. I was believing God for an increase in finances, in business, years ago, and God did not give it to me when I was expecting. Now, I don't mean like I'm praying for God, you know, sowing into kingdom and just waiting for some time. No, I was like, I had a deal that I expected to be done by then, and I have the money by this, and I'm going to do this with the money. And it was delayed by a few weeks. Well, guess what? Right before the money finally came, my wife's transmission went out. $3,500. God knew what was about to happen. I didn't. If I'd have gotten that money when I wanted the money, that money wouldn't have been there for the transmission. So we should take our minds off of the timeline and stand in faith, because we're seated in heavenly places. There's no time in heaven. So I'm not going to put God's on a timeline. I'm not going to put his promises on a timeline. That's why I said I can believe wholeheartedly that if I come down with some sickness and it takes me out before age 120, I can still have faith, because my mind is not set on the timeline. It's set on God's word. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Your confession lets you, those around you, and even the enemy know where you are in faith. That's why the disciples tried to cast out the devil, and the devil told them and said, Paul, I know. Silas, I know. But who are you? Because they didn't have faith. They were trying to cast the devil out of somebody. And the devil will come back and they whooped them a new one. So the enemy knows when you're in faith and knows when you're not in faith. Matter of fact, the enemy is in heaven accusing you. That's what Revelation says. Boy, that's another, I don't have time to go into that today. Somebody just said, wait a minute, the enemy's in heaven? You have a choice to either agree with God in his word or agree with the voice of everything else. Dr. Haynes says it beautifully. There is only two voices in this in the universe. The voice of God and the voice of everything else. And you say, well, why do you keep calling us the sound realm? Because God's word in the beginning spoke everything into existence. So if God's word can speak everything into existence, don't you think there may be some power behind our spoken words? Jesus is pleading on our behalf based upon two things, his blood and our confession. Romans 12:11 says that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, our confession. So if you're not confessing God's word, then you can't overcome. That's just all there is to it. You say, well, you have this problem, Brother Andy. I see this that you're going through. Again, we're not perfect. We're here being perfected. So we're not perfect until we attain our heavenly bodies in eternity. Until then, we are being perfected. And we are overcoming because we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The victorious life in Christ Jesus that I'm talking about can be summed up in four basic biblical truths. First of all, we must know who we are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, again, like I said a while ago, the confession, there's not magic in your words. You've got to understand who you are in Christ. You are a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Therefore, no matter what cuss word I say tomorrow. Come on, y'all. No matter how much I may argue with my spouse, no matter what I do to sin or transgress, my spirit man is recreated. And all it takes is for me to acknowledge that sin and repent, and now my flesh is back in line with God's word. I don't have to get resaved. My spirit man is being recreated. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Once I understand who I am in Christ and that I'm a new creation, the next thing is I must know where I am in Christ. Paul teaches us that we have been crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. That is symbolic of the flesh. So Jesus came, lived a perfect life, was crucified, died, went to hell for 3 days, rose again, overcame the flesh, and then ascended into heaven. So therefore, we are crucified with Christ. We have died with Christ. When we're baptized, that symbolizes that. We have then risen with Christ, according to Colossians 3:1. Therefore, we are seated with Christ, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. God has not called us to contend with Satan for a place of victory, but to overcome him from our position of victory. Did you hear what I said? You're not fighting the enemy for your healing. You're an overcomer. So therefore, see yourself as an overcomer. Well, how can I see that? Because you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Jesus overcame the world so that we can be overcomers. The third thing is we must know what we possess in Christ. So God promises all the things in earth, whether it's in this world or life or death or things present or things to come, God has given us all things in Christ now, because Paul says that we are joint heirs with Jesus by faith. What does that mean? Well, Jesus was, everything is belongs to God. Everything is his. We don't give him 10% of our money. We give him his 10% back. 100% is ours. He is. 100% is his. He asked for 10% back. When you get that revelation, it'd be a lot easier to understand how tithing and offering works. It ain't my 100%. It's his. He calls us to be stewards over it. Once you understand those three things, the last thing is we must know what we can do in Christ. So we know who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, what we possess, all the inheritance, all the blessings, because we're joint heirs through Jesus Christ. And that's everything that we've been talking about this morning. And the last thing is what we can do. You will never be able to do more than you are willing to convince yourself that you can do in Christ. Proverbs 6:2 says that you are snared by the words of your mouth. So if you say, well, I can't do that, then you just snared yourself. If you say, well, I don't know if that's possible, you just snared yourself. Because is that what God's word says? Nope. God's word says, through Christ Jesus, all things are possible to him who believes. To walk in victory, you should never confess that you can do something with anything. Excuse me. To walk in victory, you should never confess that you can't do something. Because with anything, nothing is possible with God, because the scripture says that we can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. You say, okay, can I walk off the stage and levitate? Nope. But people think that way. When the Bible says you can do all things through Christ, everything that God's word says, well, scripture will reinforce scripture. Okay? So when you hear something that may be kind of outside of the natural understanding, you got to dig around and find out, okay, what else does God's word say about this? Because I'll use Dr. Haynes. I've listened to him for 15 years. If I preach like him, I'm sorry. But anybody heard him use the hand analogy? I hadn't seen him do it in a while, so I'll do it. Doc says if you take a hand, and this is the word of God, all right? And let's say the hand symbolizes the word of God. If I show you this hand, you say, okay, I see the hand. It's got five fingers. It looks like it's about yay tall, yay wide. But then after I say, well, this is a hand. You say, oh, wait a minute. That doesn't look the same. It's the same hand. It's a different perspective. It's a different dimension. This is three-dimensional world. What about this? Did you know that the hand can do this? If you understand where you get something out of God's word, there's going to be other scriptures that will reinforce what God's trying to tell you. Get in, and if you get that understanding, and if you get that depth of knowledge around that particular problem or circumstance, or even just the topic in God's word, you will then not only be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy, when somebody comes to you with questions, you can teach it. And if you become a teacher of God's word, you can then relay God's promises, God's love for us. A lot of people are bound up because they don't think God loves them. How many of you know that God's love is never ending? The depths of it cannot be measured. He even says that his spirit will be with us even to the pits of hell. That's how much he loves us. And we're sitting around here wondering if we're struck by lightning and if God has anything to do with it. God is a God of love. And you'll even hear the world say that the Christian faith is the only one where love is the central focus. Amen? So when you leave this place and you go out your day, throughout your day this week, understand that God's word is forever settled in heaven. It will not return void. And if you can take anything away from this sermon this morning, please know that God is here to, number one, save us, number two, love us, and number three, so that we can bring others to him. And we cannot do that if we're constantly being bogged down in our own thinking. So get God's word in you, speak God's word, take his word. If you don't have one of these, you can see us in the back. We'll get you copies. This is the Daily Confessions. There's several confessions in God's Word that Dr. Hannon's written years ago, and that's what I confess every day by memory. It's about 3 or 4 pages. But when you do it every day, it becomes easy. But when you start to pray and confess God's Word, you will be amazed at, number one, your perspective will change. Number two, how things start to change when you start in your life. Amen? Praise God. If you would please stand to your feet this morning. Praise God. I hope that ministered to somebody. I never want to leave without giving somebody an opportunity to take that first step like we talked about a while ago. You know, if you're sitting here and you say, I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't really apply to me because I've never taken that first step. Well, that first step is salvation. Well, the first step actually before salvation is believing. If you do not believe, then you can't be saved. That's plain and simple. So if you're here this morning and you say, well, Brother Andy, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know where to go. I don't know what the next step is. But I do know this, that I need Jesus in my heart. And, you know, and this is, it sounds repetitive. We pray this every Sunday. But I'm here to tell you it's necessary. It's vital because if you don't take that first step, the Bible says, and I never use God's word to scare people to the altar or to scare people into praying the sinner's prayer, because just like speaking the word without faith, it does no good. If you have to be compelled to pray the sinner's prayer, then don't do it. But if you know that God is speaking to your heart this morning and you say, Brother Andy, you know, I need to get right with God. There's a lot that I've done. There's a lot of things that I know I need to clean up. Guess what? We don't have to clean ourselves up. Oh, there's some things that you probably should work on changing. But you don't have to. The Bible tells us to come just as we are. We don't have to get perfect or right before God before we can come to church or even pray to the Father. Because guess what? Nobody in here is perfect. So whether you're a sinner who's never received Christ or you're Andy Cook preaching the word, we all have sin that we have dealt with, and we can go to the Father at any time. So if that's you this morning, if you would, just raise your hand. For the first time, thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. They're all over the sanctuary this morning. If this is your first time praying the sinner's prayer, we're about to pray. All right? The second thing is, you say, well, Andy, you said a while ago that, you know, once you're saved, you know, your spirit man's recreated. There's no reason to get saved again. That's correct. But that doesn't mean you can't walk out of alignment with God's word. That doesn't mean that you don't have some things you need to get right. And I'm not here to judge anybody. The Bible says that we're here called as priest, not judge. I'm just here to deliver the word. It's up to you to judge within yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, to minister to you, and to deal with those things. We have people down here that after we get dismissed, if you need to come talk with them and pray with them, by all means, that's what we're here for. But if you say, I need to get some things right, and it may be a lot, it may be a little bit, but it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, now's the time to do that. Amen. And if that is you this morning, say, Brother Andy, I just need a fresh start. I've gotten out of God's word. I've gotten out of his will. I've stopped coming to church. I've stopped associating with Christians. I've stopped praying. I've stopped reading my word. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. If that's you, we're about to pray. Can I see your hand? Amen. Hands all over the sanctuary. Thank you for those hands. All right. Before we pray, the last thing is you may say, well, I've got a revelation this morning, Brother Andy. I know now that I haven't been praying God's word. I've been asking God to help me. Or I've been asking, you know, to do things and just waiting on God. Sometimes God calls us to take action. Amen. And if now that we have that understanding, let's get it right. Let's commit right now that we're going to start praying God's word. We're going to start speaking God's word so we can start seeing what we're saying. Amen. And then we can start bringing people to Christ and have them see what God is saying. All right? So when we pray, I'm going to pray as well. Because, again, there have been times where I've gotten out of faith. But we're going to get that right this morning. Amen? All right, so let's pray. If you would, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just as we are. And we pray, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, wash us, and make us every way whole. Lord, we repent for everything that's transgressed your word and everything that we've done in sin. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We pray that you give us life and life more abundantly. We repent, Father, for allowing the enemy to steal the word, to not speak the word, and not pray the word. We commit this day and every day to pray your word, to speak your word by faith so that we can see your kingdom manifest and grow with souls saved. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you believe that, let's give God a great big hand clap of praise this morning.